before you today because we were experiencing price increases, some of that site work, some of that just sheer inflation and growth. The facility essentially is the same. It's 22,000 square feet. But the request before you today is for 800,000 more, and that is for the three largest counties. Walton County will have a slightly smaller request at 450,000.
That is Craig Coffey. Craig is the head of the Domes Board, right? Is that right? Okay, I always forget who's which part of this thing, so because they're not, it's not my county where these folks are from. But that was him talking to the Okaloosa County Commission the other day about the increased cost of the District 1 Medical Examiner's facility that's going to be built on Avalon. I think across from the courthouse, if I remember correctly, or at least close to that vicinity. The price has gone up about $4 million. $3 million of that is going to be paid by the counties and their price share, $800,000 for Escambia, Santa Rosa, and Okaloosa, and about $450,000 for Walton, and about $1 million from the state's going to take care of that. Joining me in studio today, we have a couple of good friends from the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office. We have Dan Schubler, who is the former county administrator in Santa Rosa County, now the operations director for Domes.
Correct.
You got to speak into the mic, man.
Happy to be here.
Do I need to remind you how to do it? You used to have to do this all the time.
It's been a while.
Yeah. And then Dr. Deanna Oleski, who is the District 1 Medical Examiner for all four counties. Dr. Deanna, welcome back.
Good morning.
Good to have you. Are you tired at all?
I am exhausted.
Yeah. It's fun being a doctor for four counties and a medical examiner
and
having two kids and a brand new one on at home. Yeah.
I mean, oh, yeah.
No lack of sleep at all. Well, you know, you sleep when you later, right? Sleep when you later. Okay, so let's start with this. Why did the cost go up by $4 million?
Two main reasons, Andrew. One is the site work cost. It's a very large site. We have to develop about 6.5 acres to get back to the back portion that the county's deeded to us. That Santa Rosa County deeded to Domes. And then the second reason is just inflation. Construction costs have gone up are the two primary drivers.
So when you say site work, I'm assuming you mean like the road to get to the back of the lot kind of
thing. Land clearing, running utilities to the site,
okay.
building the road to get back to the site, all of those things. The stormwater retention, of course,
right,
as required by the land development code. So all of those things add up.
Okay, so you guys had wanted to be on the front of the property.
Did you care?
I mean, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, anything's better than the basement, right?
Correct.
All in one place in a new building,
okay.
Wherever it is.
Yeah. Okay. So, but in a way, like, I'm just trying to think of the sort of, you know, like, who's responsible for the price increase. And in some ways, if it's the expanded cost of the site work, that's a decision you guys didn't have any control over, right?
Correct.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. So, you know, but what about, is there any part of it that was like your folks underestimated or, you know, any part of it that's sort of... I mean, the counties are going to pay for this. It's not a surprise, but, you know, it's nice to know inflation sucks for everybody. The increased price of construction sucks for everybody. Was there a missed estimate by somebody, too?
I think throughout the project, and this has been going on for well over 2 years now,
yeah.
The project carried about a 4% escalation in construction costs, an assumption in that cost estimate, and what has actually occurred is about 15%.
Oh, okay.
So that's a 10% difference on an $18 million project adds up pretty quick.
Sure. And I know the it seemed like the Okaloosa County vote went pretty clean. The Santa Rosa vote, surprisingly, all of a sudden James Calkins is a big fan for the first time in history.
5-0.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Yes, sir.
Yay, finally. Now, who knows what's going to happen in my county? You know, we'll... wait and see. When is it going to be before Escambia?
I think just timing getting all four counties. We're going to Walton County in November.
Okay.
And because of the holidays, most of the boards only have one meeting in November, one
okay.
in December. We'll see Escambia County in December.
Oh, so plan. It'll be a new board. Okay.
Correct.
Well, that we don't have any idea what that's going to mean. But, you know, and we don't even know who's going to be on it because we still have one seat to decide, right, with Stephen Barry versus Josh Roberson. But sort of on that line, the one thing that got said in Santa Rosa was, but it better not be anymore, right? Colton Wright said that. I think, was it Sam Parker or Carrie? I forget who the other one said that, but Colton clearly said that. And you feel comfortable saying it's not going to be anymore?
I do, because this project, we have the construction manager. We have the construction team on board. So we're getting real-time pricing from the trades, from the subcontractors
okay.
on these elements. So we're very confident. There is still contingency built into the project and into that price increase. But much more confident in where we are pricing-wise.
You have a groundbreaking next week,
yeah,
Dr. Deanna?
Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock
oh,
on
man.
Trump and Gateway.
What's that now?
Trump
oh,
and Gateway.
Right, that's in the back of that property at Trump
correct.
And Gateway. Wow. I know from recent history, in your opinion, it would be better to be apolitical, but you take what you get, right?
I'll take what I get. I even offered maybe we could be the site of the 200-plus foot flagpole.
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. And that's...
would be at the perfect juncture.
It would be a nice place for it at Trump and Gates Way. That project's not happening, by the way. So one of the things that you guys have struggled with... Oh, just a quick fact thing. You had applied to be the District 2 medical examiner, right?
Correct.
That was because that job was open. But you did not take on that responsibility, right?
I did not, no.
Okay, which is probably for sleep.
Yeah.
Mommyhood, probably better.
Life works out sometimes.
Sometimes a no is a blessing, right?
Yes.
But you have been, I know one of the challenges you've had is there just aren't medical examiners. And this was a challenge when we found you. This has been one of the conversations, is to remind people that it's not an easy thing to find an ME. But also to staff, right, to find the doctoral staff that's going to work for you and do the autopsies. How are you doing on staff? Because I know this has been an on again, off again challenge.
It's been a slow progress. We currently have four doctors, including myself. They're all board certified forensic pathologists.
Okay.
And we just started a brand new training program, the first in Florida in the past 20 years.
Wow.
That's accredited by the ACGME in partnership with FSU to train the future. We only got about 700 of us in the country. We're producing only about 36 a year.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
There's 700 MEs and your replacement is 36 a year?
Correct. We're going to be in big trouble come 2055.
Wow. And the population's not shrinking.
No.
Oh, my God. Dan, you're a Navy guy in the past. That math doesn't add up to me.
The math doesn't math.
Wow.
more work, fewer doctors.
Okay, so now, pardon my ignorance of the medical field, but you go to medical school, then you do residency, you get your doctorate degree, and is it... They've come to you as their residency, after residency. How does that work?
So they come to us once they're fully trained pathologists and fully licensed medical doctors. So,
okay.
Our current trainees actually has done his entire career as a regular hospital pathologist and decided that he wanted to, quote, retire as a forensic pathologist because he happens to live in Gulf Breeze.
Okay.
And in order to help us out, which is what he wanted to do, and he had some interest in this, he decided the only way to do that is to go through forensic pathology training and fellowship again to start all over at 65.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
And
he looks more tired than me.
And relearn and be sharp and all that. Wow.
It is, but he's doing phenomenally. He really is. He's doing great. We're really happy to have him. But we've got a trainee right behind him too. So we're gonna keep training the future because we have no choice. Otherwise we're just even know what's going to happen.
People don't stop dying.
No. We all need death certificate signed. We need to testify in court. We got to do right by people, even in death.
Yeah. Wow. So how many ME, or will you turn out ME capables, or will it be like they need to still go through an experience of, or will it be ready to be MEs when they come out of your program?
Come June 30th of 2025, mm-hmm. Dr. Candela will be eligible to take his subspecialty boards and will be able to work in the state of Florida.
So how many a year will you produce? One or two?
One or two.
Okay.
Yeah.
But still, one or two when it's only 36 a year, that's a big difference. So
yeah, correct. So we've got Miami, Tampa, and Broward County, and they're churning out seven total a year.
Big difference. Like for Florida, that means that for all the counties and ME's do retire, you mm-hmm. know, and or leave. And so finding one means that you have to go out of the state, typically as you were from out of state, right? So,
correct.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's really great news. And FSU is your partner institution.
Yep.
Is that right? Okay.
Correct.
What's the caseload right now compared to, you know, your investigators and your doctors? I know sometimes you have backlogs. I mean, four counties does give you a little bit more population, so the numbers are usually more stable unless there's some major crisis or emergency or COVID or, you know, but how is your staff to workload and backlog right now?
So we had a couple of hiccups that we've been going through with the state and the vital statistics program. It went down in May online.
The software went down?
Yes, it went down in May. It went back online without anybody really quite knowing in mid-August. So we were down for three and a half months. Yeah.
And that's what you guys used to input all of your information and share with the state and the
funeral homes and everything and the hospitals. And it has been a low-key disaster. So we are still crawling out of that.
And that's everybody, the whole state system.
The whole state. We were, I think, over 1,000 death certificates behind at some point, not being able to process them because they were stuck. They were like literally stuck in space.
I mean, what were you doing? Like pen and paper? Like
pen, paper, fax?
Oh, my fax. God. to find somebody who's got one, right?
I don't even know how to use the fax machine.
Jeez. Well, I didn't. That's the first I'm hearing of this, and it sounds like it was a massive catastrophe for the state to deal with this problem.
And we're still recovering. Like, we are still behind. So currently, that's where most of our energies is being spent, is to try to dig out of this hole and getting them processed as quickly as we can.
So, I mean, I'm extrapolating from what you've told me, but I'm guessing that means that loved ones have had to wait, I mean, evidence for trials has probably had to wait because I assume that's been affected. What hasn't been affected by that?
I think evidence for trials is probably the least of the worries.
Well, that's good.
You know, we typically know if it's a homicide.
Okay.
From the get-go, but
so you don't depend on that system for being able to present evidence.
It's more
evidence
like the persons who may have died from their diabetes versus fentanyl.
Okay.
We get the results back, but we can't take the death certificate from pending to unpending or giving it a cause like they died from drugs or diabetes because it's stuck.
Wow.
In space, or we have to do it by paper and do this whole weird back and forth.
Were you the only state? Was Florida the only state that had this problem? Yes.
Yes. It was the Florida electronic death record system.
Yeah.
Okay. I, again, I'm just connecting with something else. I know we had this recent report that opioid deaths in the U.S. declined by 12% last year, which is great news unless you believe it's declined because, well, all the opioid users are dying. I mean, at 100,000 a year, that's a lot. But if it also includes the data that's now backlogged for 3.5 months from Florida, that would seem to be underreporting. Am I missing? Is this connected or not connected?
No, because that was 23.
Oh, okay. It's old data.
Yeah, we got that all done. We just, the Medical Examiner's Commission in Florida just pushed out their annual report, I think yesterday. And overall, yeah, we've seen a decrease in death last as of 23, which is thankful.
Okay, so that's my question. Is that a...
That's real.
Thankfully, fewer people are dying, or is that, oh my God, there are less of them to die now?
I'm not sure we ask that question every day.
Okay. Okay. Because I would love to believe that it's law enforcement, reduced use, good messaging, and all that, but I... Also,
there's also a cynical answer.
You can't kill 100,000 customers a year and not lose your customer base. I mean, that's the horrible, awful truth of it, right? So
I think in 21 was when we felt the real crush of fentanyl, and 22 kind of came down a little bit, but 23 was 12%. Sounds about correct.
And you guys are the ones who determine that and provide that data that then those reports are based on.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. I have a completely different question that I knew what you guys were coming in and it had occurred to me. So you guys deal with death all the time. You deal with the effects. I mean, understanding death, all of that. I have never known, and I watch a lot of movies. I watch a lot of people die in movies, right? Because that's a very common thing. I have never felt comfortable knowing how long it actually takes somebody to die when they suffer a life-threatening, like they get shot. You know, you see everything from he's got a belly wound, he's going to survive in, 12 hours, or, he got shot in the hand and he dies. I mean, I have to imagine.
I hope not.
No, but I'm saying I assume there's no realism because TV lies about everything. But if somebody gets shot, let's say in a major organ, how long does it actually take for them to expire, typically? Or is there a typically?
So, it depends. Even if you've got drugs in your system, of how long that's going to take. Because if you've got cocaine, well, cocaine's going to help you if you've been shot because it will help constrict your blood vessels.
Okay.
But there's video. You see somebody who's been shot through the heart, they'll make it about 45 paces and then just drop.
Wow.
It depends, Andrew. That's what I say on the stand.
Okay, so I shot that bad guy one time and he's out of commission, out of the action. That's not realistic. But people getting shot 14 times and surviving for 2 days is also not very realistic.
Oh, no, I think if it's a 22.
Oh, okay. And it's non-vital organs?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely seen somebody in Detroit who shot at least 8 times that didn't even make it to any vital organs.
Wow. All right. Well, great. I feel like I still don't know.
I feel like down here in these parts.
That's not as common.
We don't really use 22s.
No. Who owns a 22? Dr. Deanna Oleska, she's the medical examiner for the estate, for the District 1. Dan, I have a question for you. What does S stand for in domes? Because I know District 1 medical examiner, but every time I say domes, I feel like I'm telling a lie because I don't know what the S is.
It stands for support.
Not service?
Not service, not services, support.
Who came up with that?
I did.
Dan Shebler and Deanna Oleska, thank you so much for this. But seriously, you guys do incredibly important law enforcement work every day, work reassuring families, working finding bad guys and bringing them to trial. And I genuinely appreciate the work, and I'm genuinely excited that you guys are going to be groundbreaking on a facility that we're eventually going to have you move into in Santa Rosa County. So thank you for the time this morning.
Thank you. Appreciate it.